Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'd love to give you a wee scripture today, Romans 4, verse 4 and verse 5. Romans 4, 4 and 5. Will you hear this? Now, this is amazing. Now, just listen to this. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. That's what it says, Romans 4, verses 4 to 5. It's an audacious statement, isn't it? But it's inspired by the Lord. Listen to the heart of it. God justifies. That means he declares not guilty. God declares not guilty the ungodly. Well, if they're ungodly, they're guilty. Hey, now you're getting it. But God justifies the ungodly. Why does he do that? Why the ungodly? Well, it's because there's no other kind of people for him to justify. All outside of Christ Jesus are ungodly. Have you lived with yourself recently? Ungodly, stamped across your forehead, my forehead too, ungodly. All outside of Christ are ungodly. As Romans 3 explains, there's none righteous. None righteous. No, not one. None that does God good. No, not one. None. That's comprehensive, if you ask me. So let's say it again. If God did not justify, acquit the ungodly, no one would be justified. All are ungodly. Some are very ungodly, but none are too ungodly to be justified. For God to take them in his arms or wrap them in his love. No. None are so ungodly that he can't do that and he won't do that. No, he will. None are too ungodly to be justified. You see, justification, acquittal, is by grace. Sheer, unbounded grace. Not because of what we deserve or what we earn. You see, at Calvary, at the cross, infinite grace. Who's that? That's Jesus. Infinite grace. Met the unbounded demerits of us. He met our ungodliness. Grace met our demerit and grace triumphed. Now notice, by the way, in Romans 4, 4 to 5, we're not even told to believe that God justifies the ungodly. What? No, we're not told to believe that God justifies the ungodly. No, we are called to believe on him, on God himself. That's right. We're called to believe on him, the one who justifies the ungodly. Do you want to read that scripture again? Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. Did you get that? It's faith in God for justification. It's faith in God in the Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and it's his doing and his dying, his person. So faith in God for justification implies the abandonment of any confidence that we have in justification by our own good works. The old gospel hymn of James Proctor deals so well with this. It says, when he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Listen to his cry. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing. All was done long, long ago. Ah, yeah. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Till to Jesus Work, you cling by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Oh, it is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me it is not. Oh, cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished. Oh, yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. And tell me it is not. And when I'm saying sinner, by the way, I'm not condemning you. I'm a sinner. But we need a justifier who's pure and holy and great and kind and merciful and gracious. And we have one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And quit trying to work your way into heaven. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet and stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Look, our only hope of heaven is in Jesus Christ himself. Our good works cannot bring eternal life. And as the scripture says, to him that works is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Did you hear that? To him that works is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, look, this is plain, simple. It's a well-known matter. If we work for a wage, we have earned it. It's not grace on the part of the employer to, at the end of the week, come to us and say, here's your wages. And we say, thank you, I've earned them. Yes, indeed, you earned them. You work for a week and you got your wage. But grace isn't like that. Grace gives us what we haven't earned. And grace gives us what we haven't deserved. Look, suppose you met a homeless stranger and you bought him a meal. Well, that would be grace, wouldn't it? Well, it is grace, but it's only in a small measure. Gospel grace is much greater than that. Gospel grace is more akin to the following. Suppose a stranger plundered your home, burgled your home, wrecked your home, robbed you. Knowing who he was and what he had done, unbegrudgingly and gladly bought him a meal. And that's more like the grace of God. What? Yeah, we are saved by grace. We totally, absolutely did not deserve it. In our best days, we were wicked. Wicked in our hearts. Our thought life. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your friends don't see your thought life. And they don't see mine. Thank God for that. It's grace. We are saved by grace. There's no question of working for to gain eternal life. Now, salvation is to him that works not, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly. Gospel truth makes us repudiate our works as our hope of salvation. And grace, the Lord justifies the ungodly and the stranger and the destitute and the enemy. He is the justifier of him who trusts in Jesus, him who believes, trusts in Jesus. That's what the word believe means. Trust. Do you believe on him? Well, yeah, I believe he lived. No, do you trust in him? That's what it means to believe. Oh, listen, the blood of the Lamb is the basis on which he can righteously justify. And that's why he is just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Romans 3:25-26. God justifies the ungodly, but some people would rather do anything than simply trust. No, they'd do anything. I don't want to trust myself to him. They would rather work than believe. Work to try to get into heaven. Do good deeds to try to get into heaven. Rather than trust in Christ and Christ alone. They want their own righteousness. And they refuse to surrender themselves to the righteousness of God. They won't submit. They won't repent. But thank God, the most ungodly one who trusts in Christ Jesus is declared not guilty. Now that's grace, and we are living in it. Hey, Did you know that the highest motive that we can have is to seek the glory of God? However, such a motivation, it's wonderful, isn't it, to seek the glory of God? But it's not required to come to Christ. To have salvation, that motive is not required. If it were, we would all perish. Look, in the beginning, we went to the Lord in selfishness. We didn't go to the Lord. Here we are. We realize our sin. We go to trust Him. We're not going there to say, oh, yes, please be glorified out of that. We're going there to Christ, to Calvary, to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We were worried. Worried about judgment and destiny. It was all about us. But Jesus is filled with grace for us. And even in the middle of our selfishness, He welcomed us. We weren't concerned with His glory. No. But He welcomed us. We were concerned neither for Him nor anything about Him. But nevertheless, despite of our selfish approach to Him, He saved us. Why? Why did He save us? Well, there's no other explanation but one. And that is grace. Grace. Now, let's just say that the standard God demanded before we came to Him was that we had a perfect and a pure motivation for His glory. Think about it. If we could have met that standard, we would have been sinless. Sinless people have no need of grace. The very thing that qualifies us for the Savior is the fact that we are dyed in the wool sinners. And each one of us individually has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, Romans 4:5. So let's repeat it. Having a heart that exclusively seeks God's glory does not qualify you or me for Christ. We need to be careful not to replace the cross with a passion for His glory. A passion for His glory is an excellent thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not the basis of our approach to or acceptance with God. We're saved by grace. And as we grow in grace, we learn to seek God's glory in all things. 1 Chronicles 16:29, 1 Corinthians 6:20, Psalm 29:2. Look, however, we dare not qualify ourselves to come to the Lord because we have learned to long for His glory. That does not make us accepted. Longing for His glory is neither a prerequisite nor a qualification for coming to Christ. We must free ourselves from the enslaving idea that we must come to Him with unselfish motives. Christ receives people who are sinners. He receives sinners, not people with unselfish motives. If right motivation saved us, who then could or would be saved? And while we're at it, let's ask ourselves, is anything we do actually pure? So listen to me. Is anything we do actually pure and free from tainted intentions? Some people answer, yes. I think they're deceiving themselves. I know they are. 1 John 1:8, check it out. So as we grow in grace, we continue on as we began. In other words, we continue to go to Christ Jesus just as we are flawed, just as we are. Motives are all flawed. We continue to go to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. And at that throne, we receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. We bring nothing to the throne of grace, not even our good motives for being there. And to qualify ourselves to be there, we don't have to tell our high priest what we desire to be or what we ought to be, but what we are. We tell him the honest truth about our condition. At that very moment, we confess the impurity of our bad motives, the sin that we feel, the hardness of our hearts, and all the things contrary to His glory. He wants us to come to Him exactly just as we are. He wants us to come knowing that we can't make ourselves fit to be there. He wants us to know that He alone is our fitness. He alone is our qualification. Jesus receives sinners and only sinners. Many years ago, some children were visiting a church service and the preacher was speaking on Luke 15:2. And that text says, "This man receives sinners and eateth with them." Afterwards, one of the children, an 8-year-old girl, went up to the pastor and said, "Excuse me, sir, but I didn't know that my name was in the Bible." And the pastor said, "Well, what's your name?" "Edith, sir." "Oh, no," the kindly preacher said. No. Edith is not in the Bible." "Oh, yes, it is," she replied. "I heard you say, 'This man receives sinners and eateth with them.'" Bless her little heart. This little girl had misheard the text, but she had applied the truth to her heart. And may we also learn to apply the good news of our substitute to ourselves. We need to stop trying to improve to get to him. Oh, no, we need to learn to say, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and receives me just as I am." There's a wonderful 19th century hymn by Charlotte Elliott entitled "Just As I Am." Now, unfortunately, this hymn is usually only heard, if ever, at an evangelistic type meeting. And they're powerful words for evangelism. But listen to the words. They're not only for the lost, but for believers. We'll hear these thoughts. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need to do to in thee I find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, and then above, O Lamb of God, yes. O Lamb of God, yes. O Lamb of God, I come. Hey, that's grace. We're living in it. And that is the gospel truth. Amen. Thanks for being with me on the broadcast. If this has been helpful, tell your friends. Send it out. Copy it freely. Send it out. A lot of this material is found in Living in Grace. The Gospel Truth About Living in Grace is one of my books. And you find all my books at Amazon. And Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. Isn't that what it is? Yeah. And if I can help you spiritually, let me know. Miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. Hey, enjoy the grace of God. Amen. Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'd love to give you a wee scripture today. Romans 4, verse 4 and verse 5. Romans 4:4-5. Will you hear this? Now, this is amazing. Now, just listen to this. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. That's what it says, Romans 4:4-5. It's an audacious statement, isn't it? But it's inspired by the Lord. Listen to the heart of it. God justifies, that means he declares not guilty. God declares not guilty the ungodly. Well, if they're ungodly, they're guilty. Hey, now you're getting it. But God justifies the ungodly. Why does he do that? Why the ungodly? Well, it's because there's no other kind of people for him to justify. All outside of Christ Jesus are ungodly. Have you lived with yourself recently? Ungodly, stamped across your forehead, my forehead too, ungodly. All outside of Christ are ungodly. As Romans 3 explains, there's none righteous. None righteous. No, not one. None that does God good. No, not one. None. That's comprehensive if you ask me. So let's say it again. If God did not justify, acquit the ungodly, no one would be justified. All are ungodly. Some are very ungodly. But none are too ungodly to be justified. For God to take them in his arms or wrap them in his love. No. None are so ungodly that he can't do that and he won't do that. No, he will. None are too ungodly to be justified. You see, justification, acquittal, is by grace. Sheer, unbounded grace. Not because of what we deserve or what we earn. You see, at Calvary, at the cross, infinite grace. Who's that? That's Jesus. Infinite grace. Met the unbounded demerits of us. He met our ungodliness. Grace met our demerit and grace triumphed. Now notice, by the way, in Romans 4:4-5, we're not even told to believe that God justifies the ungodly. What? No, we're not told to believe that God justifies the ungodly. No, we are called to believe on him, on God himself. That's right. We're called to believe on him, the one who justifies the ungodly. Do you want to read that scripture again? Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. Did you get that? It's faith in God for justification. It's faith in God, in the Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and it's his doing and his dying, his person. So faith in God for justification implies the abandonment of any confidence that we have in justification by our own good works. The old gospel hymn of James Proctor deals so well with this. It says, when he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Listen to his cry. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing. All was done long, long ago. Ah, yeah. It is finished. Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Till to Jesus' work you cling by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Oh, it is finished, yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me it is not. Oh, cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished. Oh, yes, indeed. Finished every jot, sinner, this is all you need. And tell me it is not. And when I'm saying sinner, by the way, I'm not condemning you. I'm a sinner. But we need a justifier who's pure and holy and great and kind and merciful and gracious. And we have one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And quit trying to work your way into heaven. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet, and stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Look, our only hope of heaven is in Jesus Christ himself. Our good works cannot bring eternal life. And as the scripture says, to him that works is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Did you hear that? To him that works is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, look, this is plain, simple. It's a well-known matter. If we work for a wage, we have earned it. It's not grace on the part of the employer to, at the end of the week, come to us and say, here's your wages. I say, thank you, I've earned them. Yes, indeed, you earned them. You worked for a week and you got your wage. But grace isn't like that. Grace gives us what we haven't earned. And grace gives us what we haven't deserved. Look, suppose you met a homeless stranger and you bought him a meal. Well, that would be grace, wouldn't it? Well, it is grace, but it's only in a small measure. Gospel grace is much greater than that. Gospel grace is more akin to the following. Suppose a stranger plundered your home, burgled your home, wrecked your home, robbed you. Knowing who he was and what he had done, unbegrudgingly and gladly bought him a meal. And that's more like the grace of God. What? Yeah, we are saved by grace. We totally, absolutely did not deserve it. In our best days, we were wicked. Wicked in our hearts. Our thought life. Oh, yeah. Your friends don't see your thought life. And they don't see mine. Thank God for that. It's grace. We are saved by grace. There's no question of working to gain eternal life. Now, salvation is to him that works not, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly. Gospel truth makes us repudiate our works as our hope of salvation. And grace, the Lord justifies the ungodly and the stranger and the destitute and the enemy. He is the justifier of him who trusts in Jesus, him who believes, trusts in Jesus. That's what the word believe means. Trust. Do you believe on him? Oh, yeah, I believe he lived in that. No, do you trust in him? That's what it means to believe. Oh, listen, the blood of the Lamb is the basis on which he can righteously justify. And that's why he is just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Romans 3:25-26. God justifies the ungodly, but some people would rather do anything than simply trust. No, they'd do anything. I don't want to trust myself to him. They would rather work than believe. Work to try to get into heaven. Do good deeds to try to get into heaven. Rather than trust in Christ and Christ alone. They want their own righteousness. And they refuse to surrender themselves to the righteousness of God. They won't submit. They won't repent. But thank God, the most ungodly one who trusts in Christ Jesus is declared not guilty. Now that's grace, and we are living in it. Hey, did you know that the highest motive that we can have is to seek the glory of God? However, such a motivation. It's wonderful, isn't it, to seek the glory of God? But it's not required to come to Christ. To have salvation, that motive is not required. If it were, we would all perish. Look, in the beginning, we went to the Lord in selfishness. We didn't go to the Lord. Here we are, we realize our sin, we go to trust Him. We're not going there to say, oh, yes, please be glorified out of that. We're going there to Christ, to Calvary, to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We were worried. Worried about judgment and destiny. It was all about us. But Jesus is filled with grace for us. And even in the middle of our selfishness, He welcomed us. We weren't concerned with His glory. No. But He welcomed us. We were concerned neither for Him nor anything about Him. But nevertheless, despite of our selfish approach to Him, He saved us. Why? Why did He save us? Well, there's no other explanation but one, and that is grace. Grace. Now, let's just say that the standard God demanded before we came to Him was that we had a perfect and a pure motivation for His glory. Think about it. If we could have met that standard, we would have been sinless. Sinless people have no need of grace. The very thing that qualifies us for the Savior is the fact that we are dyed-in-the-wool sinners. And each one of us individually has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, Romans 4:5. So let's repeat it. Having a heart that exclusively seeks God's glory does not qualify you or me for Christ. We need to be careful not to replace the cross with a passion for His glory. A passion for His glory is an excellent thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not the basis of our approach to or acceptance with God. We're saved by grace. And as we grow in grace, we learn to seek God's glory in all things. 1 Chronicles 16:29, 1 Corinthians 6:20, Psalm 29:2. Look, however, we dare not qualify ourselves to come to the Lord because we have learned to long for His glory. That does not make us accepted. Longing for His glory is neither a prerequisite nor a qualification for coming to Christ. We must free ourselves from the enslaving idea that we must come to Him with unselfish motives. Christ receives people who are sinners. He receives sinners, not people with unselfish motives. If right motivation saved us, who then could or would be saved? And while we're at it, let's ask ourselves, is anything we do actually pure? So listen to me. Is anything we do actually pure and free from tainted intentions? Some people answer, yes. I think they're deceiving themselves. I know they are. 1 John 1:8, check it out. So as we grow in grace, we continue on as we began. In other words, we continue to go to Christ Jesus just as we are flawed, just as we are. Motives are all flawed. We continue to go to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. And at that throne, we receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. We bring nothing to the throne of grace, not even our good motives for being there. And to qualify ourselves to be there, we don't have to tell our high priest what we desire to be or what we ought to be, but what we are. We tell him the honest truth about our condition. At that very moment, we confess the impurity of our bad motives, the sin that we feel, the hardness of our hearts, and all the things contrary to His glory. He wants us to come to Him exactly just as we are. He wants us to come knowing that we can't make ourselves fit to be there. He wants us to know that He alone is our fitness. He alone is our qualification. Jesus receives sinners and only sinners. Many years ago, some children were visiting a church service and the preacher was speaking on Luke 15:2. And that text says, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. Afterwards, one of the children, an 8-year-old girl, went up to the pastor and said, "Excuse me, sir, but I didn't know that my name was in the Bible." And the pastor said, "Well, what's your name?" "Edith, sir." "Oh, no," the kindly preacher said. No, Edith is not in the Bible." "Oh, yes, it is," she replied. "I heard you say, 'This man receives sinners and eateth with them.'" Bless her little heart. This little girl had misheard the text, but she had applied the truth to her heart. And may we also learn to apply the good news of our substitute to ourselves. We need to stop trying to improve to get to him. Oh, no, we need to learn to say, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and receives me just as I am." There's a wonderful 19th century hymn by Charlotte Elliot entitled "Just As I Am." Now, unfortunately, this hymn is usually only heard, if ever, at an evangelistic type meeting. And they're powerful words for evangelism. But listen to the words. They're not only for the lost, but for believers. Will you hear these thoughts? "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need to do to in thee I find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, and then above, O Lamb of God, yes. O Lamb of God, yes. O Lamb of God, I come. Hey, that's grace. We're living in it. And that is the gospel truth. Amen. Thanks for being with me on the broadcast. If this has been helpful, tell your friends. Send it out. Copy it freely. Send it out. A lot of this material is found in Living in Grace. The Gospel Truth About Living in Grace is one of my books. You find all my books at Amazon and Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. Isn't that what it is? Yeah. And if I can help you spiritually, let me know. Miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. Hey, enjoy the grace of God. Amen.